Become a social worker in a forced labor camp.
There are people there, too,
Heather said grimly. Two special police guards shouldered their way up to Jason, Taverner, and Heather.
We've got the corridor as clear as we're going to get it,
the fatter of the two cops wheezed.
Let's go now, Mr. Taverner, before the studio audience can trickle around to the side exits.
He signaled to three other special police guards, who at once advanced toward the hot, packed passageway that led eventually to the nocturnal street. And out there, the parked Rolls flyship in all its costly splendor, its tail rocket idling throbbingly. Like, Jason thought, a mechanical heart. A heart that beat for him alone. For him, the star. Well, by extension, it throbbed in response to the needs of Heather, too. She deserved it. She had sung well tonight. Almost as well as... Jason grinned inwardly to himself. Hell, let's face it, he thought. They don't turn on all those 3D color TV sets to see the special guest star. There are 1,000 special guest stars scattered over the surface of the Earth and a few in the Martian colonies. They turn on, he thought, to see me. And I am always there. Jason Taverner has never and will never disappoint his fans, however Heather may feel about hers. You don't like them, Jason said as they squirmed and pushed and ducked their way down the steaming, sweat-smelling corridor, because you don't like yourself. You secretly think they have bad taste.
They're dumb,
Heather grunted and cursed quietly as her flat, large hat flopped from her head and disappeared forever within the whale's belly of close-pressing fans. They're ordinaries, Jason said, his lips at her ear, partly lost as it was in her great tangle of shiny red hair. The famous cascade of hair so widely and expertly copied in beauty salons throughout Terra. Heather grated, "Don't say that word." "They're ordinaries," Jason said, "and they're morons, because," he nipped the lobe of her ear, "because that's what it means to be an ordinary, right?" She sighed.
Oh, God, to be in the flyship cruising through the void. That's what I long for, an infinite void. With no human voices, no human smells, no human jaws masticating plastic chewing gum in 9 iridescent colors.
You really do hate them, he said.
Yes,
she nodded briskly. And so do you. She halted briefly, turning her head to confront him. You know your goddamn voice is gone. You know you're coasting on your glory days, which you'll never see again. She smiled at him then, warmly.
Are we growing old? She said,
above the mumbles and squeaks of the fans.
Together? Like man and wife?
Jason said, sixes don't grow old.
Oh, yes, Heather said. Oh, yes, they do.
Reaching upward, she touched his wavy brown hair.
How long have you been tinting it, dear heart? A year? 3?
Get in the flyship, he said brusquely, maneuvering her ahead of him, out of the building and onto the pavement of Hollywood Boulevard.
I'll get in, Heather said, if you'll sing me a high B natural. Remember when you...
He thrust her bodily into the flyship, squeezed in after her, turned to help Al Bliss close the door, and then they were up and into the rain-clouded nighttime sky. The great gleaming sky of Los Angeles, as bright as if it were high noon. And that's what it is for you and me, he thought, for the two of us in all times to come. It will always be as it is now. Because we are sixes, both of us, whether they know it or not.
And it's not, he thought grimly, enjoying the bleak humor of it.
The knowledge which they together had, the knowledge unshared, because that was the way it was meant.